Grade 8 Conference, Lecture 13, Preparation, Part 2. Now, before I get to the block rotation and the actual curriculum, I want to share with you a couple of other distractions that are going to stand in your way. And you will see. It sounds as though I'm just bringing up all this stuff that may or may not happen to you. The odds are good that what I'm describing, which is a selection of things that might happen, these are most likely to occur. Your class will be asking you with ever more insistence as the year goes by, Mrs. Smith, before we start main lesson, could we please talk about, and you name it what it's going to be, the dress code, which might come up if your school actually has a dress code. And there again, a lot of schools have gotten pretty sloppy about that because the kids give them such a hard time and the parents aren't interested in enforcing it. Anyway, if you have any kind of dress code whatsoever, or hair dyeing code, or tattooing code, or which orifices one can have earrings in code, whatever, they're going to want to talk about it. It's the great age of discussion. And they also learn that unless you are really disciplined and say, yes, tomorrow morning I will give you 10 minutes of the main lesson to talk about this. And you have to really, really hone down what's important, or you'll run out of time. And then, you know, you say that and you actually don't enforce it. And they know that it's a good way of kind of getting out of main lesson. By the time they're done with the discussion, there's nothing left to do but go out and play basketball. There's so little time. Do you really want to run a class like that? Do you think that they really want that? That they just want to be there to keep you from teaching them? Of course not. But this, we might say, is kind of what the astral body does. It's always looking for a way to do the opposite of what should be going on, to find a polarity there. So be very careful about the class's insistence that we need to talk about A, B, C, and X, Y, Z, or that will just become a regular expected part of main lesson. Some teachers, who I guess have a lot of time on their hands, decide one extra main a week will be there for, you know, class counsel or discussion. If you really feel you can spare the time and your class is so well along in math, let's say, that you don't need some extra time to work on it, and you'd rather have a time when everybody could talk as though they can't talk to each other any other time in the day, then go ahead and do that. You know, there's a lot, especially in Western schools, tremendous emphasis on things like nonviolent communication and compassionate communication and the virtues and, you know, teaching students how to really talk with one another and understand one another. And, you know, it's really early for all of that. It really, really is. It goes in one ear and out the other. You know, they learn the forms and they learn how to do what you tell them to do. And it has zero effect on their life. Why? Because this is really stuff of the ego. This is 19, 20, 21. When, you know, you're learning the proper way to talk to others and the way in which to really listen to another and take their words and bring it into your sentence, Goethean conversation, one might say, you know, how well do you guys do that in your faculty meeting after a week or two of school? You know, it's not that easy. And for the most part, it's throwing pearls before swine. Not that your children are swine, but the astral body carries a swine within it, we might say. So don't let all of this discussion, talking, we've got to work through these issues together. You know, basically, the kids are happiest when you're still telling them what to do. I'm sorry to say that, but it's really true. So that they can complain. They can go home and bitch to their parents about how bossy you are and you won't listen to them and all of that. That's what they want. That's what they want. And if you just, you know, open up the door for endless discussion and they're sort of running the show and things like that, they go home and you know what they do? They complain and they bitch to their parents. He's so bossy. He's always telling us what to do. It doesn't matter whether you are bossy or not bossy. They want you to be bossy and they want to meet with that. They want to contend with that. So I would just say, don't waste a whole lot of time on that sort of thing. Another issue that will come up, which will be one of these, could we please talk about Spanish class? Could we please talk about the woodworking teacher? Could we talk about what happened in PE yesterday and the complaints about the special subject teachers? This is like a pig in mud. Sorry to keep bringing these bovine examples, but it's like a pig in mud for the Waldorf eighth grader to complain about all of the specialist teachers when they are in your presence. And what do they say? You know, Mr. Smith, she said shut up yesterday. Did she really? Yes, she really did, didn't she? She did. She said shut up to us. Mr. Smith, you would never do that. Now, if you could see me, I'd be batting my my eyelashes right now at you. You would never, never talk to us that way. You understand us better than she does. And they love, in the same way at home, they're manipulating their parents. They're setting them against each other. They're waiting till they're in different rooms and running back and forth and, you know, giving contrary views about things. They are doing the same thing with the class teacher and the specialty teacher. And I will tell you, it's kind of funny when you think about it, how blatant they are and how they won't give up no matter how much support you show the specialty teacher, they'll come at it from another direction. You know, you walk in to go, the Spanish class is about to end, and there are three girls in the hall. What did you all do? And they're all laughing, and how stupid the Spanish teacher is, and, you know, why they did this or that. And they'll wait and wait and keep trying, knowing that one day you'll give in. And you'll say, okay, you know, some schools have these kind of detention systems and you get points or whatever if you're sent out of a class and you can pardon them. And they're going to get pardons from you and they're going to manage to get away with things and you know, you'll just support them because they're your beloved students and because they love you so much and you're so flattered at how much better you are at teaching than all the other specialty teachers, even though some of them may have been in the school three times as long as you have. It's funny up to a point. It also has resulted, I've seen it myself, in a very strong established school, Green Meadow. I've watched specialty teachers getting fired because of what these eighth graders managed to develop a kind of rebellion, a revolution in a certain way. It's fine in the main lesson book. It's fine in the class play, but it's not something that one should sort of tolerantly chuckle about when one of your colleagues is getting attacked like this. And it's a very, very serious matter. For this age, I would strongly recommend that you yourself this summer, if you're not familiar with it, read or perhaps go to see a performance of Arthur Miller's great play, The Crucible, about the Salem witch hunts. And this play is really about the way in which the astral body spreads infection, but it's not always a physical infection. It's sometimes a soul infection that results in tremendous destructiveness, and it comes out very, very strongly in adolescent girls. They're trying this out. They want to see how far they can go with this, and you have to be very vigilant and very awake. And if they get the feeling that you don't like one of those specialty teachers, if they see that when that person walks in the room, you're just eager to get out of there, that you don't shake their hand or speak a little bit about the subject or ask them at the end of the class how things went, they immediately get that signal and they know here's fair game, here's somebody that we can work on. So watch that. Watch that kind of manipulation that is going to go on. And, you know, be very open with your specialty teachers. Tell them what students have said about them so that they can explain to you what really happened. Sometimes a specialty teacher will lose it, especially when you're under fire. 45 minutes is all you've got. You know, the kids are doing their damnedest to make life hard for you. Of course you'll lose it now and then, and we have to be understanding about that. Class teachers lose it now and then as well. So that's another thing. You know, this sort of these issues that will be coming up, as they say, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems, that too will often get in the way of your basic work of trying to teach them something or other. And don't let that happen. You know, keep your eye open for little social issues that could develop into very big crises very, very quickly. Don't be asleep to it. Be aware of what's going on when they're walking to another classroom. You know, what's going on when they're waiting for the school bus or something like that. Don't just let it all go by and focus on your own little classroom. Remain interested in those students because you have a very big responsibility this year getting them through the eye of the needle and allowing them to really move forward. And the last major distraction, though it doesn't happen necessarily during the teaching day, but it will work very strongly nonetheless, is this issue that I mentioned earlier, that eighth graders are going to be pushing the envelope constantly. And often they'll just be doing it in your classroom with you there, and you can put an end to it. They'll be pushing the envelope with the specialty teachers who can't always control it, who don't always have that degree of authority. And then it spills over. You know, it starts to spill out into the hallway, let's say. And on their own, when they're coming to school, when they're leaving school, when they have spare time, maybe you've been delayed, you're at a meeting, and the class is unsupervised for a few minutes. This is when they start to have events, issues with other teachers who aren't special teachers, other class teachers, let's say, or administrative people. They have an encounter with them. You know, they do something that they shouldn't be doing, and another teacher brings it to their attention, and they basically won't listen because you're the only one who matters as far as they're concerned. So you will find yourself now and then in an uncomfortable situation where your students have gotten in trouble because you were not there, you weren't able to be there, but nonetheless they've gotten in trouble. And is it because another teacher didn't understand what they're like, that they weren't aware that girl's parents are going through a terrible divorce and she's kind of on edge, or that that boy is having substance issues and He doesn't know what he's doing half the time. These confidential matters may be there that others are unaware of. Things can get very difficult because there's all of this astrality flying all over the place, all around. And it affects everyone. It affects the parents of the children. It affects you and the class setting. And it kind of affects this entire school. Wherever there are eighth graders, there is this sort of pushing away. How can I go really far in this? How can I, you know, go beyond the boundaries that are permitted? So just be careful about that, because you want the eighth graders to feel, yes, we give you a little bit more leeway, we give you a little bit more freedom, you're older, but we're still a school. We still have forms, we still have structures. And if anything, you should be a model for the younger children, really showing them the way in which mature students can behave and can act. So be prepared for all of that. It may be that you have a class in which very little of this will occur. It may be that you have a class in which a lot of this is occurring constantly. And keep your own balance, keep your head on your shoulders, and know that the Waldorf curriculum is there to meet all of this. So while we're at it, let's look at that Waldorf curriculum and the way in which we can arrange some blocks. Let's look at the eighth grade curriculum sheet, the PDF that I ask you to download, and just take a quick overview, and in the next lecture I'll start to go into greater detail. So we began with geometry, and if you look at the student work slideshow, you'll see that a great deal of what we did was actually sacred geometry or geometry in nature, and talk about that more. History Part 1, which was the Reformation. Now, some of you may have already done the Reformation in grade 7. I think I spend more time on the Renaissance than many teachers do. But you can certainly get in a good deal about Martin Luther, and then the English Reformation with Henry VIII, which leads then segues nicely to history of England in the Elizabethan age, Queen Elizabeth, Shakespeare, and then the so-called Glorious Revolution, the first revolution that the students will hear about relatively early on in England. Mathematics, we'll talk about some of the details there. Human anatomy, with primarily the study of the skeleton, the muscular system. You may have done the sense organs in grade 7. You may wait and want to do them this year. Meteorology. In other years, I've actually very consciously made this the last block of the year. If you look at the slideshow, you'll understand why that works pretty well. For some classes, it's sometimes in this particular year in which this block rotation was laid out, that wasn't possible for a number of reasons. Then we went on to organic chemistry. You could also do physics around meteorology, as Roberto shows, the relationship of fluid mechanics and aero mechanics to meteorology is very, very close. Very close companionship there. Then we went on to the second part of history. Here we looked at French history leading up to the French Revolution, and then went into American history and the American Revolution and the Civil War. Now, my hands were very much tied in history because Green Meadow has a Waldorf high school, and the high school teachers, the history teacher, was very insistent about what he was going to teach, and he felt it was silly for me to go too far forward into contemporary history when it would be a duplication for him to do it again next year. So we had many good conversations and kind of found a balance between 8th and 9th grade in the history area. Physics, I worked in physics quite differently from Roberto, so you'll see Roberto's wonderful demonstrations in a video, and you'll see what my class did in the slideshow. The class play, we'll talk more about that. world geography, a subject that is changing greatly in the way it's being looked at and taught in the Waldorf world, which I think is a very good thing. Then our class trip, and then the finale in the last week where we try to take a great recapitulation looking back at all that had come before. So that's sort of the general overview. You could see my blocks are generally 3 weeks long. I think it's hard in eighth grade to have blocks much longer than that because there is so much content. There's so much you're bringing them. On the other hand, I would stress to you, and I think the slideshows will bear me out when you look at the student work, in eighth grade, whenever you have to choose between quantity and quality, between delivering a lot of content and making less content more meaningful, please always go for the qualitative side. Let them feel this year what it's like to really penetrate something deeply. And what I allow the students to do, I mean, basically their main lesson books were almost completely their own creations. I wrote pretty much nothing on the board. I did almost no drawings as examples for them. They really now were more and more creating those books as an image of their own understanding of penetration of a given subject. And over the years, they got used to having classmates helping them. So if somebody couldn't draw well, there were five, later on there were 10 students who were really good at drawing. They would be helping those who couldn't draw well. Someone never had ideas for composition. There were 5, 8 people who would sit with you and kind of tutor you a little bit and get the juices flowing. So our main lesson book times could be quite lengthy, and the students were really deeply engaged in what they were doing. And I would rather see one really beautiful drawing in a history book than 4 shoddy ones, 4 just kind of knocked out quickly to be sure we have, you know, 4 different scenes from the French Revolution or something like that. Same with compositions. It was fine with me if in a 3-week block we ended up with 3 compositions and 4 or 5, maybe 6 drawings. That's what the main lesson looked like, the main lesson book looked like. It might be 24 pages, sometimes less, maybe 16, maybe 18, depended on how large their handwriting was. So there'd be lengthy compositions, really good compositions, quite a number of them are on the slideshows, and you can pause the film and, you know, look at them and see the quality of their writing and the way they illustrated and things like that. That is so important. And you might feel, well, they're going to go on to the Waldorf High School, you know, they'll have real experts there. The reality is that if I showed you the work that my eighth graders did and then showed you what their drawings look like in their ninth grade main lesson books, their 10th grade main lesson books, I assure you that for some of these students, the very best work they ever did was eighth grade. that 9th, 10th grades, for the most part, the teachers really didn't pay such attention to the quality of the artwork. As long as it was artwork, as long as it looked nice, you know, they were much more concerned about their particular subject and the contentual quality, and you're going to get an exam, and you have to get this done and that done. So this is the last year in which they really have the time and the space, and hopefully with the class teacher, a helper there, so that they can truly experience the artistry in Waldorf education. Never again will it be so all-permeating. They will have some teachers and some subjects in high school that call for more artistry, particularly art classes. They'll have others in which the artistry is not so important for a given teacher. The teacher, him or herself, may not really have many artistic capacities, may just be really good in science, and that's fine. But so take advantage of that. That don't let that be thrown away. Make sure that everything they do is finished, and finished really beautifully, and let these blocks live in them very deeply. Who knows, at graduation, they may even speak about something they actually learned in eighth grade. Wouldn't that be a new departure in the history of North American Waldorf education? So we'll go on now in the next lecture and go through the subjects more specifically. No more distractions.